Good morning, everyone. This weekend, we are keeping the solar anniversary of when the disciples were introduced to the new covenant meal that Jesus instigated the evening that he was betrayed by Judas Iscariot. The next day, he was to die on the tree and take away our sins, and the day closes with his body lifted up from the earth, hanging lifeless between two malefactors. Some things I will share this morning may be completely new to some of you, but I assure you they are truths searched out and scripturally confirmed. We were given a scripture last week to read, 1 Corinthians 11, where Paul, having received from the Lord quite independently from the disciples that this feast was to be kept the same night in which the Lord Jesus was betrayed. But let's read Luke 22, verse 14. If you've got your Bibles, I'm sorry, I've got no overhead stuff because I haven't used that yet. So, verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He knew this would be his last meal that he would have with the men who had shared the past 3.5 years with him, and who he loved very dearly, and that they would suffer sorely the next 3 days in fear and confusion and deep sorrow. Notice Jesus says, Eat this Passover with you. They were taking it a day earlier than the rest of the nation. Verse 16, For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. The kingdom of God, the 1,000-year reign of Christ, and it's still future. Verse 19. Jesus is speaking to his Jewish disciples who up till then had kept the Passover yearly, looking back to the great deliverance that God had given the children of Israel out of Egypt at the Exodus. But here, the Lord Jesus is introducing a new covenant. This bread is my body given for you, and this cup is my blood which is shed for you. He says, Do this in remembrance of me. He's saying, not doing what they were doing, keeping the Passover, looking back to Exodus, but do this in remembrance of me. To remember his death and resurrection, for he is the Lamb of God, and he was about to make his exodus to pass us over from death to life. Yeah. This new covenant was to take the place of the old covenant, Passover feast, to remember our Lord Jesus and his suffering and death as our substitute until he returns to take us to be with him above. Hebrews 9, verse 15 says, And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. In the cutting of a covenant, there has to be the shedding of blood. The Lord Jesus confirmed this covenant the next day as his very own holy, precious lifeblood was shed. The disciples would have known Jeremiah 31, verse 31, which is also quoted in Hebrews chapter 8, and we'll have a look at it. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will cut a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will cut with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Isn't that wonderful? As Jesus shared later that night, this new covenant movement would be based in love. John 13, 34 says, A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. He really emphasized it, didn't he? In John 6, 55, For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. That's the most satisfying communion one can have, can receive. I am his, and he is mine. 1 Corinthians 5, 7-8 says, Purge out the old leaven, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Leaven always speaks of the thoughts and doctrines of men. Easter, by the way, was a pagan festival to the goddess Astarte. We want to come back to the unadulterated word of God, don't we? And purge out the traditions and man-made doctrines of the past 1900 years, don't we? Today is the 1984th year since AD 33. And we are still keeping the feast, and until Jesus returns. We are remembering the person of our Lord Jesus Christ and what he suffered to redeem us, to buy us back from the devil. Now, why did the Lord take the Passover a day earlier than the Jews were taking theirs? In God's eyes, every Passover lamb since the Exodus looked forward to Jesus, the Lamb of God, who would be killed to take away the sin of the world. As we know, the Jewish day starts at 6 p.m., and they kept the lunar calendar. In our solar calendar, April the 30th, A.D. 33, from 6 p.m. to 12 midnight was still Thursday, Roman time, our time, like we have now. April the 30th, AD 33, at 6 p.m., was the start of Friday the 14th of Nisan for the Jews. However, in God's divine calendar, April the 30th, AD 33, at 6 p.m., was the start of the Sabbath, 15th of Nisan. In the Bible, there are several calendars that come together at the cross, and I'm not going to share those with you now. So why was God a day ahead? Isaiah chapter 1 expresses the anger of God for Israel's unfaithfulness to him. Verse 13 and 14, Isaiah 1. Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with them. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They're hard words from God, aren't they? And Amos 8, verse 9 and 10 says, And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day, and I will turn your feasts into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation, and I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins, and baldness upon every head, and I will make it as the mourning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. These next days, what the religious Jews were going to feel after the darkness, the earthquake, and the tearing of the veil of the temple. Their high priest had also torn his clothes. How was God a day ahead? We have to look back to Joshua's long day when the sun and moon stood still for 24 hours. God called it 2 days, but Israel only 1 day. So this is how God preserved his Sabbaths. So God was a day ahead of Israel in his son's life. Therefore, the Lord Jesus was crucified on May the 1st. In God's sight, it was the Sabbath. But to the Jews, it was the day of preparation. I believe the Lord wants me to share with you about the 3 hours of darkness that the Lord Jesus suffered before he died. Numbers 28 tells us that on the 15th of Nisan is the Passover feast, and among other offerings, there was to be a sin offering of one goat to make an atonement for the people. Remember, all the feasts and offerings in God's eyes look forward to their fulfillment in Jesus, one way or another. It's quite amazing. So how did Jesus fulfill the sin offering? Matthew, Mark, and Luke record, there was a darkness over all the land from 12 noon to 3 p.m., right in the middle of the day, it went totally dark. God the Father and God the Son had always had ceaseless love communion. But because God so loved you and me, he gave his only Son to die, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. A dark and fearful cloud of horror and separation began to pass over Calvary. Redemption's price must be paid in full to overthrow the power of the great adversary, Satan. Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul." Calvary was the altar for the Lamb of God. It was Jesus' blood that made the atonement. As the hymn writer beautifully puts it, "But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, or how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found his sheep that was lost." Another hymn says, "There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in." And there's another hymn, I love to sing it sometimes. "Oh, make me understand it. Help me to take it in. What it meant to thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin." It was during those 3 hours of darkness that our precious Saviour became the sin offering. It was then that he suffered such inexpressible agony, where in the Garden of Gethsemane he had anticipated when he offered up prayers and supplications and strong crying and tears. It says that in Hebrews. "And he sweat drops of blood, requesting the removal of such bitter a cup, if it be possible." 3 times repeating the same words. But he overcame. For he said to Peter, when Peter tried to defend him, "Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?" Isaiah 53:10-11 says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied." And God saying, "My righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." Jesus' soul suffered the knowledge that his Father was going to forsake him while he hung there naked with the sin of the world on him. Jesus suffered like no other before or after him. He had suffered physically and mentally at the hands of men, Jew and Roman. But he knew too that he had to drink that cup to the dregs, bearing the wrath of God upon sin. So we remember what our precious Saviour suffered, for only his holy blood could redeem us from certain death and take away our sin, past, present, and future. None but God himself could ever measure the depth of the suffering Jesus endured on our behalf during those last 3 hours of his earthly path. Jesus became a curse for us. Romans 5:19 says, "Now by the obedience of one should many be made righteous." Jesus, the Lamb of God, in perfect and unfaltering obedience, was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, dying in our place, bearing our sin, my sin, in his body. Our holy God, who cannot look upon sin, turned away from his beloved Son. So Jesus, nailed to the stake, had to go it alone in the darkness. Matthew 27:46. he cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me? Perhaps Psalm 88, 1-7, expresses his thoughts as he himself bear God's wrath at our sin. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline mine ear unto my cry. For my soul is full of trouble, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength. Free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. Selah. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me, thy terrors have cut me off. How terrible it must have been for our Lord Jesus. And 1 Peter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Joseph Prince puts it this way: during these 3 hours of darkness, great clouds of sin came down upon our sinless sacrifice. You may identify with one or more of these, so you can repent of it and allow the Holy Spirit to set you free. There may be some things that Hannah Lee spoke about last week, which you find still clings to you. So these clouds were coming down on Jesus. Lies, hurtful words, misunderstanding, abuse, rape, shame, adultery, divorce, abortion, murder, pornography, deceit, pain, rejection, loneliness, injustice, grief, sorrow, self-pity, failure, guilt, resentment, selfishness, gluttony, malice, wickedness, depression, all our complaining, bad habits, shyness, sexual impurities. Worship of anything that comes between us and God. Generational curses, unlove, secret sins, and anything else you may like to add to that list came upon our Lord Jesus Christ. As Jesus came to the end of those 3 hours of intense darkness, he cries, I thirst. He had a tremendous, triumphant shout to make. Psalm 22, verse 15 says, my tongue cleaves to my jaw. He wanted to be able to make this sound to say what he wanted to say. They gave him vinegar, which must have wet his mouth enough, for Jesus cried with a loud voice, it is finished. Then he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Father God, it was love that drew salvation's plan. It was your love that sent Jesus, your beloved Son, down to man. And it'll take eternity to thank you, Lord Jesus. May we understand a little more of what it meant to you, Lord Jesus, to take away our sin. Thank you. Amen.